Okay, fine.
So, so last week we began discussing the dine of Borei Minei Mezonot, and specifically we discussed trying to figure out exactly, let's start with this. So we discussed the five different possibilities as to what can happen with grain. This will be a good review for people who weren't here last week. So number one, we said that if you eat them like in their natural state, so you make a Borei Pri Hadama. We discussed there's a little bit of a doubt as to what Bracha Achrona is, and perhaps it should only happen in the middle of a Su'udah, some sort of roasted grain type of things. The next possibility was that if you ground it into flour, so you're eating it in a very unusual way, you make the Bracha Shakol Ni'avidvaro, you've reduced the quality of the grain, and also you're eating it in a very unusual way, so make the Bracha Shakol Ni'avidvaro. The third possibility was you make something cooked undisputably, the Bracha Rishona is Borei Minei Mezonot, Bracha Achrona is Ala Mechia, and you made bread, so then Hamotzi and Berkat HaMazon, nothing to talk about. And then we spent a lot of time discussing the fifth category. The fifth category was what we called pata ba'a b'kisanin, which was an ambiguous term, where we didn't know exactly what it meant. We narrowed it down sort of to types of snack/dessert foods. I weren't sure exactly what the categorization was. And we saw that Rav Melamed brought three opinions. Okay, so this is on the second page, the second side of the page, he brought the three opinions. We saw Rabbeinu Chanano, who says it's referring to things that have a pocket, things that are filled with something. So it would be strudel or hamantaschen. Sorry? Calzones, we said, right, potentially would be in that category. And those would all be, borekas probably are in that category also. They're filled with something. So that all is in the category of the first one, that's Rabbeinu Chanano. The second opinion was things where there's something mixed into the flavor of the the flavor of the dough, so we say cakes and cookies and things like that, would be in that category. Mm-hmm. The third, that was the Rambam's opinion, and the third opinion was Rav Haigaon. Rav Haigaon said that it's things that are crunchy, right? Crunchy things, kisanin, is like kosisim, kosisan vishinav, which is to crunch them, you bite them, they're crunchy types of things.
Pretty much every mezuno falls in one of these three categories.
Except for cooked foods like pasta, oatmeal, things like that, right? Those were very clear, 100% mezonot al mechia, no question.
And those you can never wash.
Exactly. I can eat them from today till tomorrow. They're only mezonot al mechia. Exactly. But these categories, the other things, are going to potentially be, they're dependent on the circumstances, and that's sort of where we left off last time. Okay, now before, he said that it depends. If you're going to have shira kviut suda, which we'll have to elaborate more on exactly what that means, and that's really the next sheet, which I brought today. Hopefully we'll have time to get to it. We probably will. So, shir kviut suda is a meal, so it's like bread, so it's hamotzi, and berkat hamazon. If you're eating it as a snack or a dessert or something, so then you're going to make borei minei mezonot, and you're going to make ala mechia afterwards. And then we'll discuss exactly what's called a meal and what's called a snack, but that's the general categorization of when you're going to make hamotzi and when you're going to make borei minei mezonot.
What if you're having a meal, but like the mezonot is part of your meal. You're not eating, that's not your whole meal. But
So you're saying I'm eating like crackers, but I'm also eating meat and vegetables and fish and things like that? Okay, that's section four. That's upcoming attractions. Okay. So that I pointed this out last week, that if we look in this note here, we'll try doing some of the footnotes, and you guys will let me know if you like the footnotes or the footnotes. You don't like the footnotes, so we'll skip the footnotes. Well, determined based on that. But let's try doing a little bit of the footnotes. I'm not going to do the whole thing, but a little bit, okay? So the footnotes are where Rav Melamed goes more into detail in terms of the opinions that he's quoting and where he's deriving his from, and he explains his reasoning much more as to how he comes to his conclusions. So he says here, Yishav Yarush, Loshat HaPirushim Halalu Kecholkim. There are some who say that the three opinions that we mentioned, Rabbeinu Chanan, Rambam, and what was the third one? Rav Haigaon, are really arguing on each other. Kulomar, Echad mehem hu hapata ba'a b'kisanin. Okay, only one of them is hapata ba'a b'kisanin. Ve'lashnayim ha'acherim, mevarachim ha'motzi. The other two are bread. They're bread. Meaning, according to this opinion, so let's say, Rabbeinu Chananel says, filled things are hapata ba'a b'kisanin. But the other two opinions, like crackers or cookies or things like that, those are hamotzi, according to Rabbeinu Chananel. And vice versa, Rambam would say only sweet things are hapata ba'a b'kisanin, and the other two categories are hamotzi. That's according to this interpretation. They're baked goods. They're like bread. And out of doubt, because we don't know which one is the correct one, so therefore we say Shulchan Aruch says we should say mizunot on all three. King Kadav Habach, Magen Avraham, Rabbi Kikir, Dagomar Vava. Okay, that's a lot of people. Right? V'ayin Ber Halacha. This is a serious group of Acharonim who all say that really only one of them is really correct. We just don't know who is correct. And therefore, because of Safik Brachot Lahakel, we say mizunot for all three opinions.
Lahakel would be not to say it. No?
Lahakel is not to say Hamotzi, and rather to say Borei Minei Mizunot, which is what we do. Right, I mean, you're going to make one of the two brachot, right? Lumat zot yeshe biaru. He doesn't say safik brachot lahakel. I'm just assuming that's the. He's saying we safik pasak shulchan aruch, right? So you're saying it's because of safik, right? Now lumat zot, on the other hand, yeshe biaru she'en kan machloket. So those that explain, there's no machloket over here. Ela shalosh dugmaot le pata ba'ava kisanin. These are three examples of pata ba'ava kisanin. So he says, no, these are three examples. They're just three categories that are all different examples of things that are eaten as snacks, or they're eaten as desserts, but they're not eating as part of as a meal itself. So not that they're arguing. These are all equally valid opinions. Sounds like Kama Rishonim. Rashba Meiri, Tamei Rabbeinu, and Avorzer. Okay. Then he goes to Maimon Mordechai, thinks that's been a Shulchan Aruch also. Okay? Chinkata Bedat Torah, B'Shem Rebbeit Ephraim. Okay, fine. Now, so last week Sean asked me, he didn't actually ask me this, but he said, what's the difference? Who cares, right? Who cares whether they're arguing, that's why he's a Borei Mizunot, or they're all really true, and that's why Borei Minei Mizunot. So Rav Melamed says there is a difference. Okay, now, look at the bold. Im nomar shiyesh kan machloket ben gimel apirushim. If you tell me that the three opinions are arguing, me only one of them is really borei minei mizunot, and the other two are hamotzi. So then what? L'chora, im yochal mishnei minim. If you eat two of them, mikol achad kishur kezayit. You eat at least a kezayit of each of them. Gam yloik ba alehem suda kivan sheechad mehem ubivaday lechem. Yistarech levarech b'sof berkan amazon. So he says, listen. Either way, I ate bread, right? I wasn't koveya suda for either, right? I had one kezayit of cake, and I have one kezayit of something that's stuffed, like a boreka, let's say, for example. Okay? So according to one opinion, the boreka is mizunot, and the other one's hamotzi. According to the other opinion, the cake is hamotzi, and so the cake is mizunot, and the boreka is hamotzi. Right? So according to somebody, I ate bread, right? Everybody's going to agree, I ate one of the two things I ate was bread. So then I should make a brachot amazon afterwards. But if you say that all three opinions are really correct, and all three opinions really are pata ba'aba kisanin, so if I never ate the amount of kviyut suda, so then I wouldn't say brachot amazon after. I'd only say al mechia after. So I never ate kviyut suda. All three opinions are correct. Okay? You hear the difference? Yeah. Yes? Okay. So now, let me read it.
If you have two out of the three, or all three?
No, two out of the three. Because according to, if you eat two out of the three, then... And then all three opinions agree that something I ate is hamotzi.
I got it. Because each one says that
the other two
out of the three are hamotzi.
Exactly. So once I eat two, so I'm guaranteed to eat a hamotzi according to everybody, and therefore I have to make right. So at the end, Rav Melamed says, because you are concerned for that opinion, there's no machloket, v'kulam nechshav mizonot, k'shelo kava aleihem suda. So he says, he says, in practice, you should not say Berkat HaMazon, you should say Alam Mechia, even if you ate from two different Pata Baba Kisanin, and it was not Koveya Suda, still, I should be saying Borei Minei Mizunot, because we're concerned for that opinion that says that really all three are definitions of Pata Baba Kisanin, and therefore I'm going to make Alam Mechia no matter what.
And have we decided what Koveya Suda is?
Or no, not yet.
Wait, so any of the three opinions actually discuss each other's opinions?
I don't think so. The later Rishonim do. They discuss all the opinions.
I wouldn't want to assume that they argue with each other. Just each give their own opinion.
You think the Stam is they do argue or the Stam is they don't argue?
No, they don't argue.
They don't argue. They're just giving examples.
They argue because if they would agree, they would have mentioned it, maybe.
Yeah, maybe they would have given more examples. I mean, they give different... If I think that categories A, B, and C are all parts of Baba Kisanin... So why would I just give one of the three? If the other two are not, I wouldn't necessarily intuitively assume that the other two are just because I know the one, I don't automatically know the other two. So it makes sense to list all three. Okay, I'll read you language of Shulchan Aruch, and you guys can tell me what you guys think, who's more appropriate in Shulchan Aruch. Okay? So he says, Zayin, right? We read this last time. Right? I won't read through all the opinions again to save time, but I will read you the end of Shulchan Aruch. He says, V'halacha k'divrei kulam shelachol elo advarim nodin lahem dinim she'amarnu bepata ba'a bekisanin. So what is it? V'halacha k'divrei kulam. What do you think that sounds more like? That there are three differing opinions and he's just not sure, so therefore you should follow all three of them, Yisafek and Se'ala Mechia, or you think he's saying that all three are really correct?
I think it could be either way.
You think it could be either way? Yeah?
Could be halakha that we're machmir for all three, or it could be halakha is...
They're all right, yeah. We all.
Interesting. Okay, so you hear in the Bir Halakha he discusses it.
So
yeah, I don't know. I think there are different opinions in the Achronim. I thought it sounds more like that all three are correct. Because if halakha divrei kulam, I mean, because if he's only saying it misafik, so then it's not really halakha, it's like all of them. He's saying, he should have said something like, umisafik chayshinan lecholach. I mean, that's what I would...
He doesn't always explain his
halakha. When he's used the word halakha, you're saying, it could be halakha, yeah. Means different things in different places. Okay. That was just my intuitively, when I read Shulchan Aruch, even last week I was thinking of this question, and intuitively I thought about that he means all three. But okay, I definitely can read Shulchan Aruch different ways. Okay, now let's continue back on the paragraph in the middle of the page here. Okay, so this is a very, very important question. We don't really know what Kiyutz Suda means yet, but it's, once we know what it means, it's a very important question. Okay. Sometimes he wants to eat a little bit of... He's hungry, so he wants a snack, he'll have one boreka or something like that. So he makes a boreka mina mizonot at the beginning. Ah, however, lachar sheitchil le'echol, this happens all the time, nigrar ve'achal od va'od ad shematza atzmo she'achal kishiyur kviyut tzu'uda. Right? He eats more and more and more until he finds that he ate kviyut tzu'uda. Right? You can't just eat just one. He opens a bag of pretzels. He has one, two, three, and keeps going and going and going and going until he's found that he's had a meal's worth, whatever a meal's worth means. He's had a meal's worth. Okay, so he says, "Af shebitchila birech mezonot." Even though at the beginning he only made the bracha borei minim mezonot, basov yivarech birkat hamazon. At the end, since he ate a su'uda, he should say birkat hamazon. Why not? Sure.
A side question.
Yeah.
It happens so much. It's not this case. It's a side case.
A related case? Okay.
Like someone, let's say I'm at a restaurant or whatever with someone and I'm like, oh yeah, let's make Zimun.
Okay.
They'll tell me, oh, I didn't wash Tzamotzi, I can't say Berkat HaMazon. Is that true?
Did they eat bread?
They ate a bread meal.
No,
that's
not true.
They can say Berkat HaMazon?
Yeah.
Because you didn't say please, it doesn't mean you can't say thank you.
Wow. Is that your own?
I don't know, I heard that before. That's
Is it yours? I don't know. I heard it.
I stole it from one of the guys.
Right, so he's just as obligated Berkat HaMazon as anybody else. Even though he didn't do the right thing at the beginning of the meal.
Yeah, that's a great look.
So therefore, tell him we're going to store that one away.
We're going to store it. We're good.
To store that one away. That's a good one.
Nice job,
put it in your back pocket.
Torin, okay. Age 22.
19, Ellard. Okay, anyway, so...
21.
Okay, enough.
Okay. Can you say Berkat HaMazon even if you don't say... The initial blessing.
I don't see why not. Yeah, I think so. They're not dependent one on the other. No, there's no contingency. Correct. Okay. So, So this at the end, you wash my machronim. We say Berkat HaMazon. Exactly. Ve'im la'achar she'ta'amin ha'mizonot hechlit likboa aleihem suda. So if let's say I start and I have a little bit and I said, this is really good, a lot better than I expected. Let's make this into dinner. I was just gonna have a snack and eat dinner later, but let's make this into dinner. So what happens? I tasted a little bit. You know what? I said, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to go all the way, and I'm going to have another, three or four of these, and I'm going to be kovei suda. I'm going to make a meal out of it, right? And the amount that I'm going to have more, that by itself is enough to be a meal by itself. Meaning that even if I was only eating that much, I would consider that to be a meal. Then you told yadav yivarech hamozi. You wash your hands until you die. Make the bracha of Netilat Yadayim, and you say, Hamotzi, I'm about to start a new meal. Everything I had till now is just mizonot. Now I'm about to start a real meal of Hamotzi. I make the bracha of Hamotzi. I wash Netilat Yadayim and Hamotzi. I'm sorry?
Do you say an Al Mechia then?
No. Oh. So it's a good question. If you had a shi'ur kizayit, do you make alam echad? I don't know. My guess is no.
No, right?
Because it's probably connected to what you're going to eat afterwards.
Yeah.
But I can't say for sure. I don't know. My guess is no. But you could look in Mishnah Brura Chavav, where he discusses this topic. He says, you wash netilat yadayim, and then in the note here, he points out you should make a beracha on it. And then he says,
I feel like it's a suffix, because they say, let's say, if some people have a minhag that Friday night, or like, let's say, Shabbat lunch, they
yes,
have a
correct,
little bit before.
Correct.
So they say, but don't eat too much, because you don't want to get a suffix.
Exactly. Yes, yeah, correct. Yeah, so it's probably the same thing. That you'd be a suffix whether or not you make a bracha or not.
Better not.
And you should make sure you try not to have a kizayit in the first place. Yeah. Until whatever. Fine. Now. Okay, let's continue. V'in b'ameh. Thank you very much. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'kol ni'ah b'dvaro. Okay, now. Now, so that's if you're going to eat a whole hamotzi afterwards, okay? But if what I'm going to have afterwards by itself is not a shiur kviyut suda, yachol lahamshich leachol asmach berkat mizonot shibirech betchila, uvasov kivan shachal shiur kviyut suda yibirech berkat mizonot. So now, if at the point that I changed my mind, that's what it all really depends on. It depends on the point where I changed my mind. If at the point where I changed my mind, I decide that I'm going to eat a full amount of kviyut suda, that even not including what I ate already, then itilat hadayim, brachan itilat hadayim, hamutzi, berkat hamazon. But if the amount that I'm going to eat afterwards, the amount that's left for my meal, where I keep deciding to have a little more, then I have a little more, then I keep deciding to have a little bit more, so then that's not going to reach the shiur of the kviyut suda for my decision, and therefore it will be mizonot. The mizonot that I made originally would cover the rest of whatever I'm going to eat, but I still make berkat hamazon at the end, because at the end of the day, I ate a full meal. Okay? Good. Okay, let's go to the next topic. You want to figure out now what is shiur of kviyut suda. There is a section in between if you're interested. I'm skipping a bet. If you have the book there, you'll notice I'm skipping bet. A bet is about. Let me take a couple and pass them down. A bet is about a different halachot related to eating like grain that wasn't cooked or wasn't made into flour. So I'm sorry. Well, it just doesn't come up that often, and I imagine the Shulchan Aruch says that you should eat it within a meal, because then because there's a question about what exactly bracha achrona is. There's like three or four opinions, which either brain fashod or al mechia, or maybe I pointed out there's one opinion that says even al ha adama ve al pri ha adama, which we never make that bracha. So you should, if you're going to have something like that, it's treated as roasted grains, so then you should make the bracha of, you should try to only eat it within the meal, so you avoid the whole question. But if a person did eat it, so then, whatever, there's different opinions you could see there for what you should do for bracha achrona. Okay, now the big question is, what's called shiur kviyut suda? Right, now that we've established that pata b'kisanin is going to be different bracha if it's just mizonot, or if it's shiur kviyut suda, so if it's going to be really into a meal, so the question is, what makes it into a meal? Okay, so now, kefisha lamadnu, Adam shirotzeh leechol lechem, filu b'kamut ma'ata biyoter, tzarech levarech hamotzi. If a person is eating bread and he's eating only a little bit, it doesn't make a difference to eat hamotzi. If nesha lechem no ad l'kviyut suda. Bread by itself is a type, it's a min for meals. V'afilu im ochlimi menu ma'at, even if I'm only eating a little bit.
Like less than a kazayit?
Even less than a kazayit. I still have to make the bracha of hamotzi, because bread is bread. No matter how much bread I eat, it's still considered bread. So, I believe you do netilat yadayim even without a beracha, if you're eating less than a kibetza. I have to look this up again. If it's less than a kibetza, you should do it. Definitely, if it's between kazayit and kibetza, you should do netilat yadayim without a beracha, because there are those opinions that still require netilat yadayim even for a kazayit. But since there are those that don't, we don't make a bracha. Less than a kazayit, I don't remember exactly what's the din as far as netilat yadayim goes. I think there are those that you're still doing netilat yadayim without a bracha and for less than a kazayit, but I don't remember exactly. But I'm pretty sure between a kazayit and a kibitza, you should do netilat yadayim without a bracha, and then from kibitza, you should do netilat yadayim with a bracha.
Less than a kazayit is like nothing, no?
Depends what you think that is, but yes. Yeah. Yes, but that's a different discussion. Not for today.
Article.
Yes. Daniel already sent me the article. We read it. We discussed it at lunch last Pesach in great detail.
Did you guys really?
But yeah, we had a long discussion about it at lunch at Pesach. We could talk about it at some point. There's a lot to say. I have what to say about the article too, but we'll
see.
Just
say he's right and leave it at that.
We'll save it. Could be with Pesach, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so nice to be proven that the olive was
Oh, yeah, there's like an excellent
Pesach cake, yeah.
Amazing.
Okay, anyways, yes, we can talk about that another time. And why I think that people don't do that. Whatever, we can talk about that another time. Okay. Aval al sha'ar ha-ma'afim mechameshit mine dagan. So, but other things that are baked from the five grains, kiugo to biskuitim, like cakes and cookies and things like that, and crackers, kevan she'en regilim likbo aleihem su'uda, v'archim mezon v'al mechia. Okay, like we said, mezon al mechia. V'rak asher kovim aleihem su'uda, hem mit'alim le'madrigat lechem. They go up in status to become like bread. Okay? So once I make them into a meal, right, this third category, which as we said, is either filled things, sweet things, or crunchy things that are baked. So all those things, I make them, once I'm making them into a meal, they go up to the higher level and they become brachav hamotzi, I need to end with the bracha, and brachav hamotzi at the end. Now, shiur kviyut tzu'uda, hu shiur shemikubal le'achol barucha regila, באופן שהסועד יוצא ממנה, סביה, ושוב אינו צריך לאכול עד הארוחה הבאה. It's the normal amount that's eaten in a meal that a person becomes satisfied with that amount of eating, and he doesn't need to eat again until his next meal. Okay?
For everyone is different.
But we follow, it's a good point, and the Ari Shulim that say it's subjective, but the halakha is in Shulchan Aruch as well, is that we follow objective criteria in terms of you make an assessment of what would a normal person eat in a meal to become full. Okay, everybody's a little bit different, but you try to get a sense of the average person. How much would the average person eat in the meal to become full? Okay, we'll see in a second that even the Rav Melamed follows this opinion. The people at this table may not follow that opinion, but
hard to say because it's nobody. Let's say I'm eating like little crackers, right? Nobody has a meal out of them, so it's hard to say how much someone would have a meal out of them.
Well, listen, how full would a person be at a meal in which he is? Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean,
how full would a normal person be? That's what it is for everybody.
Having only these?
Even if
I get, it's having, the amount that...
the mizono, having the pata...
The amount of pata ba'abi, sorry, it's the amount of pata ba'abi kisanin that would make a normal person full. So for you, even though for you, you get full with less, or for you, you get full with more, you follow how much pata ba'abi kisanin makes the average person full. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. Okay? It's in Shulchan Aruch as well. If you look in Sif, Vav, Sif Vav, I think. Pata ba'abi kisanin, Vavarach, it says, V'imachal imenu shiur she'achirim regilim likboa alav, the amount that other people would normally eat to make a meal out of it, even if you're not full from it, it's the amount that normal people are full from. Even though you're not full from it, normal people would be full from, so therefore you make a Birkat HaMazon afterwards. It is a little hard to gauge. And he says later on that that's actually the paragraph that I actually cut out. But he says don't worry so much about it because you have what to rely on, even if you make even if you're a little bit off. Don't
Hanar doesn't say four kavitas.
Yeah, is it?
Shulchan does not fit for exactly.
That's just a rabbi.
So we'll talk about it. We'll see. It's machlok of Rishonim in note 2. It's machlok of Rishonim, and then we'll get to
how we get it, guys. You know this.
how we follow. Okay, sorry.
No, I was joking. Okay, we get it.
Fine. Now, v'ef shar likboa bazeh shiur shel nofach. He says you can't establish a volume that people get full with. M'pnei sheyesh ma'afim avuririm. Or avririyim, they're more airy, like avir, they're airy. She must be in rakashokli mehem shiur mirba. You need a lot of this very airy food, like rice cakes or something. You need a lot of it to fill you up. V'yesh ma'afim dechusim, there are compressed foods. She must be in b'shiur muat yachasi. There's a certain things, if you're eating, so like a heavy, like a dense potato type, you know, food or something like that.
Yeah, pretzels, thick pretzels.
Okay, something like that that's more dense. I think some potato dishes, like potato kugel or like mashed potatoes, could be even more dense, especially if you add a little bit of oil. Oh, fine, you're right. Fine. Yeah. So let's say it had mizona. Yeah, yeah. But, if it was of that type, then you would be, yeah, fine. Ela hakol afi mashe mikubal. So you can't create any shiur for this. Rather, everything is according to what is mikubal. Shim regilim lispam mimyashe hu mitzkaven leechol. Yivarech alav hamotzi yubrikat hamazon. If you're full from the amount that you intend to eat, so then you make the bracha. I mean, I'm sorry, regularly full from the amount that you intend to eat, so then you say hamotzi and birkat hamazon. Now, v'yeshenagu l'sha'er kviyut suda l'fi mishkal 224 grams umala. Okay, now we're getting closer, okay? So there are some who say that we establish kviyut suda based on weight, okay, which is a big question, which we'll deal with in a few minutes, of 224 grams, which is the equivalent weight of 4 kibetzim, which is approximately 8 ounces of weight. Umishi yodea sheminhag avotav kach, yamshich beminhago. Yes, that is a lot.
So 8 pounds of cake?
Not 8 pounds, 8 pounds. 8 ounces, 8 ounces, half a pound. Half a pound, half a pound, half a pound.
Half a pound.
Okay.
There's a kid in my yeshiva who would have like these like loaves of cake. Every day during, he would like skip lunch, he would have half of one of those cakes.
Really?
He would wash and would save
really? On it. Wow. There you go. Okay, if you have a family custom as such, he should follow the amount that is full. Unless you have a custom to follow this way, you shouldn't do it. You should follow the amount that's full. Okay,
how much is that? Like, how do I gauge that?
200. The weight of 224 grams.
Yeah.
It's. He says. Let's look at it in the footnote. It comes out to a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, in some ways, that's the easiest one because most things you package, or if you go to the bakery and you buy some berekas, they weigh them. Yeah. And also, if you go to the bakery and you buy some berekas, it's weighed for you. Okay, so we have to get to the potato. I honestly don't have a good answer for the potato. If you can get more information about the potato, I'd be very curious to hear. We're going to talk about, in section Dalet, on the second side, we're going to talk about other things that you eat with the things, like things that are not baked with it. I'm pretty sure that I once asked Rabban Chaim, and he said that things that are baked inside with it are included in the amount for this shiur. But if you guys can ask, I called him and I asked him, and
I wasn't clear from my conversation with him.
He definitely said that other things you eat with it, he thought you would follow the opinion that you don't include them, which we'll get to on the other side, but in the shiur. I wasn't able to get a clear picture from him based on the two times I spoke to him. What about things that are baked with it? But I'm pretty sure things that are baked with it would be included in that amount. Okay, well, let's talk about that. And we'll get to that in a few
eventually
minutes.
Eventually, we're
going
to get to like sweet pizza, like the orange juice base.
Yes. We're going to get to pizza.
Well,
we're going to get to. Yeah, exactly. So the question is, what's going to be called pata babi kasini? What's going to be called pata babi kasini? Okay. Now, just as a side point, let me just finish one sentence and then we'll get to your question, okay? Zikenim o yuladim shinasim sveim bishur katan yoter. So I skipped a paragraph about, not to worry so much about figuring out exactly what's the amount that people normally get full with. Now, zikenim o yuladim shinasim sveim bishur katan yoter. Okay, so people who are categorically different, I mean, if you're in a category that's different than most people, either a person's elderly or a person's very young, so the amount that they get full with, for the people in their category is a completely different amount, so then they don't follow an average person, they follow how much an average child or an average zaken, would become
very
full with.
What if they're skinny and they just get full up? They know themselves to be like...
No, so then I don't think that makes you categorically different. You're like a regular person. So therefore you follow the average person. So even if you're not full from that amount... See, Shulcharuf only says... he only mentions the case where you're not full from the amount that most people get full from. He doesn't talk about the case where you're full with even less than what normal people get full with. You know what I'm saying?
Everyone's different.
No, but see, he only says you follow the average in one direction. He doesn't talk about following the average in the other direction. My guess is you probably follow the average in both ways.
What does Shulchan Aruch say about it?
He said, wait, about which part? He says the average person.
About, he says you follow the average person?
He says... Right, v'imachal mimenu shiur sh'acherim rigilim likboa alav It's the amount that people normally do. Once we're at this, I just want to make a plug for Mishnah Berurah. Yeah, if you own a set of Mishnah Berurah, I would recommend maybe bringing it, because once in a while we'll use it. If you don't own a set of Mishnah Berurah, then you should. Yeah, but it's good to own one for yourself. You can make notes in it, you can make emendations. It's good to own. And especially, I would highly recommend this Ish Matzliach edition, which we have over here, the Ish Matzliach edition, because there's footnotes where he quotes, first of all, it's brief, and he quotes the opinions of Yaku Yosef, and Chacham Avadia, and Kaf HaChaim, and Or HaZion, on the Mishnah Berurah and Shulchan Aruch. So it's a great one-page Sephardic Ashkenazic reference for everything you need to know. So I highly recommend getting this edition of Mishnah Berurah if you don't have one. But either way, if you want to bring yours in, it's good, because when we look things up in Shulchan Aruch sometimes, it's good to see it inside together. Okay, good. Now, another question? No, you're good. Okay, fine. Now let's just do the last paragraph, and then we'll go through the footnote where he explains everything and where all this stuff comes from in the Rishonim and in the Acharonim. Okay, v'yeshomim. There are those that say shishur kviut suuda hu nofach shel arba beitzim shel yamenu mima'afeh mizonot. And I'll tell you, this is what Rabbi Chaim recommends. The shiur kviut suuda is volume of 4 modern day eggs. That's the volume of 4 eggs. That's about 8 fluid ounces in volume. This cup is
8 ounces. 9 ounces. I think it's 7.
It doesn't say how many ounces. It says 7 N. I think I once measured one of these cups. I think it's 7 fluid ounces, but I'm not sure. It says 7 N. I think it's 7 fluid ounces.
All these cups are different. There's like many different brands.
Yeah, I think these are 7s. So it's a little bit more than the amount that would fill up one of those plastic cups.
Like blend the mizonot to fill it in.
Yeah, if you were to like smush it into So Rabbi Chaim said actually in their shiur they did that. They took different types of mizonot and they mushed them together and they fit them into cups.
Matzah. We did it for matzah.
Oh yeah, for matzah.
We did it for a kazayit of matzah.
Yeah.
It's a shot glass.
I think somewhere Rav Malamed will say that the normal airspace that exists within the foods is included in the shiur. If you have unusually large, they have like a bubble or something or a pocket. So that's not included in the volume. But the normal texture, like bread has a normal texture to it. So the normal texture of the bread, even though there's some air in the normal texture, that's included for the
That's
the
not
shiur.
So much. One cup isn't that much.
It's not that much, no. Not that much at all. Not that much at all. Not
so
that
that's
much
considered
at all.
A meal, what fits in
the... Correct. Or a little bit more than that cup. Yes, yes.
So if I have like 20 pretzels, I have to...
Could be. It depends how big your pretzels are.
Most
people
don't get full of 20 pretzels.
Correct. So that's if you follow me. Right. If we're following this opinion, right. Okay, so let's see. So he says, V'yesh, so the others say you follow the volume of 4 beitzim.
So a cake, I'd have to wash?
Yes, according to that opinion, yes.
Not even 20, like 15 pretzels is fair.
Like a small piece of cake would be...
Listen, a piece of cake that's bigger than this cup, an ounce bigger than this cup, it's not a small piece of cake.
It's not a big one.
It's not a very big one either, it's true. It's not a very big one either. But if you follow that opinion,
So which one do we follow?
So if you follow Rabbi Chaim, that's what he advocates.
Are you serious?
If you have like 2 or 3 slices of cake, like normal slices that they would cut at a wedding, that's...
So you get like a bag of Snyder's pretzel.
So if...
It'll fit much more than one.
Really?
Pack. Yeah. Of course.
So let's say we have a Shabbat meal and then we bench after and then we have to...
I was bothered by that question. And I don't have a good answer yet. But yes, if you eat a lot of cake at dessert, then you have to wash again. Or whatever. I mean, something like
washing.
Yeah.
Let's say a bag of pretzels, like, it'll fit in this cup. It'll be more in this cup, but it's not even...
Really?
It's not filling.
A bag of pretzels, remember.
You have to crush it.
No, I don't think
really
a bag
crush
pretzels,
it.
No. Not one that you get from a vending machine. I think it'll fit.
I think it will.
Yeah, it will.
Really? Okay, Daniel, if you can, please bring a bag of pretzels next week. And we'll crush it up into this cup, and we'll see.
Like a mortar and mess.
It'll make a mess, though.
We'll see how much we get. We'll do it in a... You don't have to crush it up, grind it into fine flour. We'll break it into pieces enough
fine flour would take up less space. Pieces take up more space. So then,
So I'm saying, I think you'll break it up into pieces, and we'll see what the pieces fill in the cup.
And a magic bullet also.
What's that?
The blender.
So he says, "Va'af shebederach klal." He asked Daniel's question. "Va'af shebederach klal ain't zvei mishur kaze mikol makom ledaatam al shiur kazeh kvar regilim likbo asida. You know, you don't get full from it, but people do make that amount of mizunot into a meal. Lema'ase ein poskim kishitazu. Rav Lam says we don't hold like this. And the Rav Ben Chaim says we do. The ha'ochel mima'aveh ha'mizunot shiur nofach arba beitzim kozman shelo achal kishur shirigilim lispa mimena barucha regila v'arech mizunot v'alamechia. Okay, so he's a Rav Lam recommends make mizunot alamechia unless you're full. Ulam lechatzichila adiv shelo lechosh shiur shel arba beitzim. He says don't get into the situation to begin with. Don't get into those situations to begin with. Either eat less than the volume of four beitzim, okay, or eat the amount that people are normally full with, so then your hamotzi, your brikat hamazon, according to all the opinions, everything is wonderful. Okay, now let's look at this footnote to understand better the opinions. Okay, so brachot ben beda amud aleph. Okay? That's all the Gemara says. Anything that others make into a meal, you have to make the bracha of hamotzi. Hain hamotzi berkat hamazon. That's what it means. Levarech means hamotzi berkat hamazon. Now, shtei shitot ikariot behagdarat kovim alav suda. There are two main opinions when it comes to establishing what's called koveya suuda. Shita vishona kviyut suuda hu shi'ur shesvei'im mimenu barucha regila. So one opinion is the amount that you're full at a regular meal. Ken katava tur v'shulchan aruch v'od rabbi. Many people hold that, and that's what we saw in shulchan aruch, right? The amount that a normal person gets filled by in a normal meal. V'nechliku ha'rishonim lefi ma misha'arim. The time the rabbeinu yonav ha'rash, the fiyamik abal etzol rov anashim. So some Rishonim say we follow most people, and Ravan Rashba im ze she'ochel ragil likbo pachot mishur she'achrim kovim sudai v'arech hamotzi uberkat hamazon mashehu ragil v'nifsak b'shulchan aruch k'talmid Rabbeinu v'arash. Okay, so basically it's machloket in the months of the Rishonim. Do you follow what most people do, or do you follow what fills you up? So Shulchan Aruch says we follow most people. Okay, aval gabi zekanim v'yeladim. So that's a different story. Elderly and children, different story. Now, shitash niya, the other opinion. Shi'ur pras, it follows the amount of a pras. Pras literally means a half a loaf of bread. According to the Gemara in Eruvin, that's the amount that they used to eat in an average meal. The amount of bread they used to eat in an average meal. So again, so if I eat the amount of mizonot that they would eat that amount of bread in an average meal, even though I'm eating mizonot and they're eating bread, it doesn't make a difference. That it's already called kviyut su'uda. That's called a meal. Now, very interesting. According to Rashi, that's four beitim. According to Rambam, it is three beitim. So, if you really want to avoid all spekot, they should have even less than three beitim. If you really want to be machmir, really want to avoid all spekot, you should have even less than three beitim. A volume. Correct. Now, v'av shirov anashim enam sveim b'shirur kazeh, kifish sveim b'suda regila. Even though most people don't get full from that amount of mizonot, l'datam ein tzarech liot sveim b'mhatabah b'kizanim b'kisviya shel suda regila. So he says that even though most people don't get full from that amount of mizonot, but you have to, as long as you eat the amount of mizonot that's equivalent to the amount of bread that people will eat at a normal meal, that's called kfiut se'uda, and therefore the bracha will be hamotzi, netilat daim, hamotzi, and berkat hamazon. That's the other opinions. That's the Rama Bipano, Maharam Ben Chaviv, and the Beit David. Okay, now. Ukide'azu katu rabbi ma'aposkim ha-sefaradim ha-acharonim. Many of the Sephardic acharonim, they follow that opinion. The rabbim, I'm not sure why, but I haven't had a chance to find out why, but it seems to me many do that. The rabbim miyotzei sefarad bedorot ha-acharonim nagul ha-chashev et yurei kezayit u-beitza lefi mishkal ma'im. Now, there are those who had the custom in the previous generations to follow weight to figure out their amounts of kezayit and kebetza, to follow weight. That's the chidan kafa chayim. Ulecheshbonam, according to those calculations, betza is 56 grams. Dalet betzim, 224 grams, 56 times 4. That's the quoting from Yaakov Yosef. Now, b'ma'afim yotzeh comes out, shemishkal 224 grams, hu benofach shel ke'eser betzim, it comes out to the volume of like 10 eggs. It's a huge amount of mizunot that you have to have. It's like a whole bag of berekas, you know, to get to the shiur of 224 grams.
So a whole bag of berekas would be equal to 224 grams?
Approximately, yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot of food. If you follow this opinion, it's a lot. It's a lot. Okay. Yeah. It's half a pound, basically. Half a pound. Uvishiur kazeh kvar na'asim sve'im. And for sure you're going to fill, to be filled up with this amount. You're pretty full with this amount. However, if you want to follow this opinion, that we follow four beitzim, he says, well, you shouldn't use weight anyways. It's accepted that we follow volume. So basically what he says is as follows. He says, listen, if you follow the opinion that says four beitzim, and you use weight for those four beitzim, so then you're going to end up eating shiur sviya anyway. So basically, you fill the other opinion of shiur sviya anyways, and then you're going to say berkat hamazon, right? If you eat that amount, right? But, he says, in truth, and Rav Chaim was very adamant about this, the correct way to measure shiurim are not by weight. The correct way to measure shiurim is by volume. And therefore, if you follow the opinion, we're going to speak about that in the next paragraph, if you follow the opinion that we follow four beitzim, and you follow volumes, then you end up with basically this cup, plus a little bit, as your shiur. Now, if you're interested in this topic more, you can look in Sefer Or Letzion, which is Chacham Ben Zion Abba Shaul, in his introduction to Volume 3. There he speaks about this question of whether we follow weight or whether we follow volume. And therefore, there he shows with many proofs that all those acharonim who say that we follow weight, we're talking about foods where the weight and the volume are basically equivalent, and it's just easier to measure with weight, so therefore it's just they give you the easier measure. But in foods where the density is such that the weight and the volume are very different, so therefore we follow volume, we don't follow weight. And therefore by matzah, we follow weight, we follow volume, we don't follow weight, and therefore his shiur of kazeh, according to Chacham Ben Zion, is about 18 grams of weight, as opposed to the 24, 26, 28 that you're going to get according to the other opinions, which makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. It's about a third or more, perhaps less than the other shiur. That's what Ben Zion said. Okay, so that's why Rabbi Chaim is very adamant about this. He says that the people who wrote weight, they mix everybody up. It's ridiculous. We follow volume. And if you look in Or Letzion Chelek Gimel, he makes very strong arguments that we follow volume, we don't follow weight. So therefore, if we follow this opinion of four beitzim, so then we're going to end up following volume, we're going to end up with a much smaller amount. Okay?
Most of your Rishonim say four, not three?
I'm not sure. Rashi said, I mean, until you get to four, then you have Safek Brachot Lahakel, yeah, and therefore you wouldn't make... So that Rashi says four, Rambam says three, I'm not sure what other Rishonim say. Okay. But again, as I said before, if you want to be really frum, so then you should avoid the whole suffix to begin with, and then you should have less than three beitzim. Okay?
And what is the volume of like one egg?
The volume of one egg is about 2 fluid ounces.
Okay.
Which is about 56 grams in volume.
Okay.
Okay, now. So he says, and this is what I was telling you about before, V'yish ladat shehata'ut it's not so bad if you make a mistake. Interesting. There are opinions that say that mizonot and al mechia would work after the fact, not lechatchila, but would work after the fact for bread. So therefore, if you end up making a mistake, and you end up making the wrong beracha, don't worry about it. And there are those that say the opposite, that if I take bataba bikisanin, which is any of those three categories, and I make hamotzi and berkat hamazon, then that would work also. So there, don't sweat. And Rav Melamed said the same thing in other places also. When he was, remember Daniel, when he's speaking about or yihayitz adama, but he's also talking about if something changes form from haetz to shehakol or from hadama to shehakol.
Right.
So there he said that b'diavad shehakol works on haetz and foods that were haetz and their form changed and now they're shehakol, b'diavad haetz would work for them also. So he says don't sweat it. So he makes the same thing over here. Don't worry so much. Okay. So he says, Ela shemakom shel safek, kasher l'shita shniya kava seuda, she'achal prasa l'shita rishona lo kava ki lo sava mevarchim al hamechia. If you're not sure, you make al hamechia. Okay, basically, he goes through all his cheshbonot here, how he got to all his conclusion. In the last sentence here, he says, "Umikom akom harotzeh latzeh tidei kulam." If you really want to avoid all the sfeikot, yizeher shelo lechol nofach patzav b'kisim mishur nofach patzav b'kisim mishur gimel beitzim v'ad shir gilim l'spavo. So then if you really want to be machmir for all the opinions, have either less than three beitzim or have the amount that you're full. So then, according to all opinions, you filled it, okay? And then he says, if you eat the amount that you're full, that you're full with, you're not sure if others would be full with about, Daniel was a little bit concerned about that, right? So he says, you should still do hamotzi and berkat hamazon, because, first of all, some people say tzafik d'oraita, and also, there are opinions that say that we follow his interests anyways, right? It's subjective anyways. And also there are opinions that say 4 beitzim, there are whatever. So all those things together, he says you should make hamotzi and birkat hamazon. Okay, do you guys want to go on? Should we hold it here? What's good for you? Okay, fine. So we'll hold it here.
I'm never having cake.